Welcome back to the Deep Dive. You know, we talk a lot about strategy, about big visions for
You
startups.
do that exciting high-level stuff.
Exactly. But there's this gap, right, between that amazing vision on the whiteboard and what actually happens day to day.
The execution gap. It's a classic.
Yeah. How do you connect that big strategic goal, like we want to conquer the market, to the actual practical process changes that need to happen on the ground? How do you build that bridge?
It's a huge challenge. That initial excitement is great, but making it real, that's where things often get, well, messy.
Totally messy. And bridging that specific gap is exactly what we're diving into today. We're looking at Chapter 13 of Emmanuel Beccari's book, Startup Process Improvement, Volume 1, Turning Chaos into Cash.
A really practical book.
It is.
Yeah.
And we're taking the idea of an implementation roadmap, which we've touched on before, and bumping it up to the strategic level.
Moving beyond just fixing operational hiccups.
Right. So our mission today for you listening is to sort of walk you through translating that high-level business strategy into real concrete process initiatives, things you can actually do.
The idea is making sure your improvements aren't just random acts of efficiency, but are tied directly to your big goals, driving strategic results.
Yeah, making sure the vision isn't just, well, a vision.
Exactly. Turning
Yeah.
the dream into dollars, essentially, or growth, or whatever your key metric is.
Speaking of dreams, or maybe the opposite, Thomas Edison had that great quote, right? Vision without execution is hallucination.
Oof. Yeah. It's hard, doesn't it?
It really does. And it captures why this strategic implementation piece is so critical. I mean, we've all seen brilliant plans just fizzle out, haven't we? Especially in startups, they just stall. Why does that happen so much?
It's a familiar story. A few key things usually trip startups up. First, there's often this deep resistance to change. People are used to the chaos, the speed, structure feels like slowing down.
Even if the chaos is killing productivity.
Sometimes, yeah. Then there's the constant battle for resources. Every penny, every person is stretched thin already.
Tell me about it.
Plus, you've got competing priorities pulling everyone in different directions. And then just the sheer number of unexpected things that pop up daily in a startup can completely derail plans.
So the plan just gets forgotten.
Pretty much, or abandoned. You waste resources, people get cynical about the next big initiative. It's why that gap between strategy and reality is so tough to bridge without a proper structure. It's not optional, really. It's survival.
Okay, so it's not just about having a good idea written down, it's how you actually make it happen that counts.
That's the core of it. Beccari puts it really well. Implementation success depends not just on what you implement, but how you implement it.
The how.
The how. Think about it. You could have the most amazing strategy to cut customer churn, but if you don't implement it thoughtfully, thinking about alignment, detailed planning, getting the team ready, managing the execution, it's just not going to work.
It stays on the paper.
Exactly. It's the difference between a good idea and a good result.
Okay, so let's get into this structured approach Beccari talks about. He has this implementation success framework, six key parts. How do these pieces actually fit together to make sure we get those strategic outcomes?
Right, these six components are like the pillars holding up your implementation. First up, clear vision and goals.
Okay.
And this isn't just some fluffy mission statement. For a startup, it means defining really specific, measurable objectives. What does success actually look like for this initiative? Without that clarity, your team might build something amazing, but totally irrelevant strategically.
So giving the fast-moving team a target to aim for. Not just running fast, but running in the right direction.
Precisely. Direction is key. Second, strong leadership and sponsorship. This means your execs aren't just giving it lip service, they're actively involved.
Oh, so.
Providing direction, visibly backing the project, talking to the teams, making sure there's a way to escalate problems and get decisions made quickly. You know how fast things move in a startup? You need leaders who can clear roadblocks fast.
Yeah, that active support makes a huge difference. What's next?
Number three, adequate resources and skills. Seems obvious, but it's tricky. It's about making sure you actually allocate the budget, the people, the tools needed, and getting real commitments, planning for capacity realistically, knowing you're probably already lean.
Right. The practical, can we actually do this part? Okay, that's three. What else?
Fourth is effective change management. This is huge and often missed. It's about getting the whole organization ready and willing to adopt the changes.
Preparing the people, not just the tech.
Exactly. Helping employees understand the new ways of working, shifting mindsets, that can be tough in a startup culture sometimes. Fifth, robust project management.
Uh-oh. Sounds bureaucratic for a startup.
Not necessarily. It just means having a systematic way to plan, execute, and control the work. It's about discipline and consistency, not rigid rules. Building that muscle for getting things done. And finally, number 6, continuous monitoring and feedback.
Keeping an eye on things.
Constantly. Regularly checking progress against those goals, gathering data, and being ready to adjust course as needed. They all work together, see? It's a system.
Okay, I see how they connect. And you mentioned alignment. How does this framework really guarantee that strategic alignment? We talked about that process first revolution flywheel before. Does this connect back to that?
Oh, absolutely. It supercharges the flywheel. This framework forces you to explicitly link every single implementation initiative back to a specific strategic goal. Okay. You have to be able to say, we're doing this process change because it helps us achieve X strategic objective, whether that's market share, customer loyalty, faster scaling, whatever.
So it connects the dots.
Precisely. Remember the flywheel. Process excellence, when it's strategically driven like this, creates that positive cycle. Better profits, speed, quality, less chaos, easier scaling. These aren't just nice side effects. They're the strategic outcomes you're aiming for. Every process tweak becomes a lever for growth.
Okay, framework makes sense. Strategic alignment is key. But practically, how do you roll this out? Especially in a startup where everything's moving a mile a minute.
Yeah, you can't just flip a switch. A phased approach is crucial. Absolutely crucial for startups.
Why phased?
It massively reduces risk. And you start seeing benefits faster. You build momentum. Each phase learns from the last one. Think of it like agile development, but for your internal processes. No big bang implementations that break everything.
Okay, that resonates. Break it down. What are the key things to plan for in each phase?
Well, first, scope definition. You have to be super clear about what's in and what's out for each phase.
Manageable chunks.
Exactly. Break it down. Yeah. Identify dependencies. You can't fix everything at once, especially with limited resources. Trying to do too much just leads to, well, nothing getting done.
Analysis paralysis.
Yeah, then, really important, the organizational readiness assessment. Before you even think about rolling out changes, you need to check if the organization is ready.
Ready how?
Across different areas. Is leadership truly aligned? Do employees have the skills, the right mindset? Are the resources actually available? Are your systems compatible? How's the communication? The culture? This helps you spot potential problems before you launch.
That's smart. Like checking the weather before you set sail, making sure people are actually ready for the change, not just that the tech works.
Couldn't have said it better. And then you move to pilot implementation.
Testing the waters.
Exactly. Test and refine the changes in a controlled way, maybe with one team or one customer segment. Get feedback, work out the kinks. It's your safety net before going wide. TechConnect Solutions did this brilliantly.
All right, you mentioned them. Tell us about that example. How do they use this phased approach?
So TechConnect had classic growing pains. Customer support was drowning, slow responses, agents burning out. They couldn't afford a huge disruption.
Sounds familiar for many startups.
Totally. So phase one was process analysis and design. They mapped everything out, figured out a better standard workflow. Phase two, technology configuration. They tweaked their CRM to support the new process. But the key was the next phase.
The pilot.
Yep, pilot and refinement. Instead of pushing it out to everyone, they picked a small pilot team. This team used the new system, the new processes, day in, day out.
And what did they learn?
A ton. They found bottlenecks nobody expected. Training gaps became obvious. A few software glitches popped up that would have been disastrous company-wide. Because it was a small pilot, they could quickly gather feedback, tweak the process, adjust the tech, improve the training, all before the main rollout.
So they de-risked the whole thing?
Massively. Then, once they knew it worked, they moved to full deployment and optimization, rolling it out gradually to everyone else. And the results, pretty staggering. Response times dropped 40%. CSAT scores went way up. Agent productivity improved, directly hitting their strategic goals around customer support and retention.
Wow. Okay, that TechConnect story really shows the power of doing it step by step. It's not just theory. But look, even with phases and pilots, things go wrong. What are the common traps people fall into during implementation?
Oh, there are definitely traps. A big one is improving the wrong processes.
What do you mean?
Not every process is worth a major overhaul, especially in a startup. You have limited ammo. You have to focus on the processes that have the biggest business impact, the ones directly tied to your strategy, not just the squeaky wheels or the easy fixes.
Right. Don't waste time polishing something that doesn't actually move the needle strategically.
Good point.
What else?
Another classic is over-engineering solutions. Founders, engineers. We love to build the perfect thing, right?
Guilty as charged sometimes.
Haha, yeah. But Bakari really pushes for starting simple. What's the minimum viable process that solves the core problem? Get that working first. The good enough for today approach. It avoids getting bogged down and lets you iterate faster.
Okay. Fight the perfectionist instinct on internal processes. Makes sense for speed. What about data?
Data quality issues. Huge potential derailer. If your data is garbage, any process or automation built on it is going to be shaky at best.
All right.
You need to factor in time for assessing and cleaning up your data. It's foundational.
Garbage in, garbage out. Still true.
Always. And the last big one I'd mention is user adoption. You can design the most brilliant process in the world, but if the people actually doing the work don't buy in or don't know how to use it properly,
just dead on arrival.
Pretty much. You absolutely must involve the doers in the design and testing, and you need to communicate clearly not just what is changing, but why, what's in it for them. Address that directly.
Got it. Involve the users, communicate the why. Okay, so let's say we navigate the pitfalls, we launch successfully, we know it's not a one-time thing. How do we keep the momentum going? Ensure continuous success.
Yeah, this brings us right back to that sixth component of the framework. Continuous monitoring and feedback. It's absolutely vital. Remember the process build measure learn loop from earlier in the book?
Vaguely. Refresh my memory.
Sure. You build the new process. Then you measure its performance using those clear metrics you defined up front. Then you learn from the data what's working, what's not. And based on that learning, you iterate. You refine the process, maybe even pivot slightly.
Ah. Right. It's that continuous improvement cycle
yeah.
applied specifically here, like a little engine constantly tuning itself.
Exactly like that. It's essential for startups because things change so fast. You need regular reviews. You need to adapt your metrics as the business matures. Improvement is never really done. It's about building that ongoing adaptability muscle.
Making sure your processes keep up with your strategy as it evolves.
Precisely. Staying aligned over the long haul.
This has been incredibly clarifying. We've really mapped out how this strategic implementation roadmap acts as that crucial bridge, connecting the big vision to actual results.
Yeah, moving from hallucination to reality.
Uh-huh, exactly. We walk through that implementation success framework, the vision, leadership, resources, change management, project management, and that continuous monitoring. We hit on why strategic alignment is non-negotiable, how it fuels that process-first flywheel.
And the power of doing it in phases, like TechConnect showed.
Right. Mitigating risk, learning as you go, plus tackling those common challenges, focusing on the right things, not overbuilding, cleaning data, getting users on board, and finally keeping it going with that build, measure, learn loop.
It's really about building a foundation for scalable growth. It's not just housekeeping. It's building a core competitive strength.
Resilience, structure, competitive advantage. That's the real payoff.
It allows you to handle growth confidently, turn that potential scaling chaos into an asset, really.
Okay, so for everyone listening, here's your actionable takeaway. Think about one of your startup's big long-term strategic goals. Maybe it's hitting a certain market share, maybe cutting churn significantly. Got one.
Okay, now break it down. What specific concrete process improvements would directly help you get there?
Is it tweaking how your sales team qualifies leads? Is it smoothing out customer onboarding? Maybe improving how you gather product feedback?
Think specific actions. And then think about that phased approach. What's the smallest first step? The easiest pilot you could run? What's one simple thing you could measure right away to see if it's working?
Don't try to boil the ocean. Start small, learn fast.
And here's something to mull over. How can you shift your thinking? Instead of just reacting to problems, how can you start proactively designing your processes to handle future growth? Maybe even embrace the chaos that comes with it.
How do you build scalability in from day one, making that potential chaos your secret weapon?
Something to chew on. How do you turn process into your ultimate competitive edge?
A great question to leave us with. Thanks for breaking that down today.
My pleasure. It's critical stuff for any scaling startup.